We're going to begin here on Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, 11 lines down. Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Haglili Omer, Ba'as Becho Migroncho Amikvecho, Ma Gorin V'yekev Miuchadim Shigdelim Ameshana She'avra. Just like the Gorin and the Yekev, what is unique, or what is the unique characteristic, is that they grow on the waters from the previous year. Therefore, Umitasrim L'shana She'avra. Their Maser is connected to the previous year. So then the equation will be anything that is similar in character to that, which means that they grow on the waters from the previous year, they will have their masrot taken off from the previous year. Yatzu yirakot. Yirakot are different than these items. Shigdelim almei shana haba'a. Because they grow on the waters not only of the previous year, but also of the upcoming year or the year that we're in. And therefore, their masrot are taken off from the year in which they are picked. So, with regards to vegetables, we know that it goes batar l'kita, after when they are picked. Discuss that more in detail later in today's daf. When they are picked is usually after Rosh Hashanah. So, generally, their masrot come off for the next year, for the year that is after Rosh Hashanah. That determines their geder, what year they belong to. Now, in terms of their water, they require water at all times, because not only do they require the water from the previous year, but as Rashi says, Shari goes zimota v'chozeret v'gdela. Even when you pick the vegetables off the vine, the vines continue to grow and continue to produce vegetables, and therefore the water is essential to the continued growth of the vegetables. They don't just require water in the past to keep growing, they require water currently to keep growing. That's not true of other items, where, as Rashi points out, for instance, by fruit trees, the water that goes into the trees develops the sap. The sap is what eventually gives rise to the blossoming, the budding of the fruits, and then the growth of the fruits. So once the sap has already been inculcated in the tree or built into the tree from the water of the previous years, that is what's mashpia on the fruits. The waters afterwards, even though they help the growth, they're not essential to that growth of the fruit because the water has already established the nature of the fruit or the fruit itself because of the srach. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. It has to do with which rain season is it captured by. Is it captured by the previous rain season or is it captured by the current rain season? Rabbi Kiva Omer, Rabbi Kiva formulates it differently. Just like a Gorin and a Yekev are unique, or the characteristics that they grow on Rov Mayim. Now, as Rashi defines over here, Rov Mayim means Amei Gishamim, on just rain. Umitasrim l'shana shavra, and therefore their masrot are covered from the year before. Avkosh gedelim are Rov Mayim. Those things that grow on rainwater, mitasrim l'shana shavra. Itzui rekosh gedelim al kol mayim. Not only do they grow on rainwater, they require irrigation as well to supplement the rainwater. And so therefore they require kol mayim, not just rov mayim, not just sufficing with the rainwater, but in addition to that they require irrigation, and therefore mitasrim l'shana haba. And therefore their masrot are contingent on the following year, not on the previous year. So here you have a machloket about what is the determining factor over here. Is it the fact that they grow off the previous year's rain versus the current year's watering or rain? Or does it have to do with the difference between rain and irrigation? So those are the two possibilities about a distinguished yirakot. In both cases, what we're trying to do is say, batar l'kita, or batar chanata, those thresholds which the chachamim picked, are trying to reflect that reality in terms of the rain, or in terms of the waters of the previous year or the next year. In either case, that's what the chachamim were after. The main issue is the rain, water, or the additional irrigation for different items, vegetables, fruits, that's determined by different thresholds. So all these other things are a siman to give you the underlying premise, which is, where is the cutoff in terms of the water? So now the Gemara says, what's the difference between them? My benayu. What's the nafkamina between Rabbi Yossi HaGlili and Rabbi Akiva? Amrei ba'u b'tzalim asarisim. Upola mitzri ika menayu. The difference between them are these eunuch onions, which, as Rashi describes, are onions that never come to full maturation. They stay small. Upola mitzri, which are Egyptian beans, ika menayu. That is the nafkamina between their opinions. The Tanan, We have a Mishnah in Shvi'it. Bitzalim asarisim upolam mitzri shen manamehen ma'im shloshim yom lifnei Rosh Hashanah. They stop watering them 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. Mitasrim lishavar. They belong to the previous year. Umutarim b'shvi'it. And they're mutarim shvi'it because they're considered to be shishit crops and not shvi'it crops. Vimlav, if they don't stop watering them within 30 days of Rosh Hashanah, then asarim b'shvi'it umitasrim lishana ba. Then they belong to Shvi'it. I mean, they have Dushat Shvi'it. And they are mitaser l'shana haba in a non-Shvi'it year. Then they will take on the properties of the Maser of the next year. So now, that is the Nafkamina. But who subscribes to that Mishnah? And who disagrees with that Mishnah? Gemara doesn't tell you which is which. So Rashi actually brings two opinions. Pretty clear that this must not be Rashi or was added in later, because Rashi over here quotes Yerushalmi, which Rashi never does in his Perush. So either Rashi on Masech Rosh Hashanah is not Rashi, or there's a later edition. You can see that Tosafot disagrees with Rashi and quotes the Yerushalmi in disagreeing with Rashi. So I don't know when that edition maybe was added into Rashi later. But Rashi gives one opinion, which is that Rabbi Yossi Aglili itlei ha-matnitim. That Rabbi Yossi Aglili agrees with this Mishnah, because keiman demana mehem mayim shloshim yom, since you withheld water 3 days before, ve'enim tzug delim ha-meishan ha-shavra. They clearly grew on the waters from the previous year. Even if you irrigated, even if you gave them water, as soon as you stop the watering, then that means that you've terminated any watering in the year before. Now within 30 days, it seems like that once you get within 30 days, even though you're still before Rosh Hashanah, the benefits of that rain will be felt in the subsequent year, or the benefits of the watering will be felt in the subsequent year. It means that they will grow from that water in the next year. So that's one possibility, is it's like Rabbi Yosef Lili. Whereas Rabbi Akiva would say that these still grow alkol mayim. These items still grow not only on rainwater, but supplemented irrigated water. And therefore, they're going to have their maser from the subsequent year, not the previous year. That's the way Rashi explains it. So that's one approach that Rashi brings. And then in Rashi, it's quoted like this. V'perish romayim mifarish yipkha. I don't know what the perish romayim is. And then it's quoted from the Yerushalmi as to the reason, and Tosafot also quotes it from the Yerushalmi, that Rabbi Kiva itlei ha-matnitin, that Rabbi Kiva is the one who agrees with the Mishnah, because bitzalim and sarisim are differentiated from other vegetables. So that in other vegetables, everybody would agree, even if you withheld water 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, b'teila dato etzol kol adam. Nobody withholds water from them 30 days before, because they require watering all the time. Since they require watering all the time, if you pull it 30 days before, you didn't do something that is in normal course, and you actually hurt the vegetables. So we're going to say that you should have watered, and they belong to the subsequent year. The only question is with these bitzalim, sarisim, is because they are watered every 30 days. They are not watered on a continued basis. They are watered every 30 days, and then you repeat the process 30 days later. So therefore, if you water them 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, they can then continue into the new year and be picked, and not need another watering. So Rabbi Akiva has this Mishnah, because if you withhold water 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, that means that they had enough. They had enough watering from the time before. There was no growth that took place. Now, Fred, this is like what you were suggesting, that Rabbi Akiva's opinion is, yes, it has to do with the rain and the irrigation. But what does the irrigation do? The irrigation brings you into the new year. But if you're able to terminate that before the new year and only irrigate in the previous year, even Rabbi Akiva is going to agree in that case that they belong to the previous year. Based on that, Rabbi Akiva subscribes to this issue of Bitzalim and Sarisim, because by pulling the water 30 days before, the irrigation is not relevant in the subsequent year, and nothing in the Shvi'it or the subsequent year grows based on that irrigation. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva subscribes to that Mishnah of Bitzalim and Sarisim and Pola Mitzri. Whereas for Rabbi Yossi Aglili, it's still determined by which year of rain that it goes by. It doesn't matter that you pulled 30 days before, because it's not about the irrigation, it's about the rains, the natural rains that come. All right, that's the explanation here. Question we have to ask, which is what's coming up now, is that the Gemara now asked, V'achad b'shvat Rosh Hashanah li'ilan. First the Shvat is Rosh Hashanah for Ilan. My taima. What is the reasoning for this? Now, my taima, are they searching for a source? Are they searching for an answer? What are they searching for? So Rashi already told us that the determination of Echad B'Shvat and Tu B'Shvat by Beit Hillel as being the Rosh Hashanah Li'in Lanot is because Trumot and Masrot outside of the Ganti Rosh Nitzar are all Dirabanan. And therefore the Rabbanan made a determination about when those thresholds are, or the most logical time for thresholds are, and to maintain a certain amount of uniformity within the fruits or vegetables. Vegetables, again, batar l'kita, because they all come in together. So therefore, we want to have them pulled together. Five things that we talked about yesterday that have hashrasha, because they're not picked together. So therefore, they used hashrasha as the cutoff, because that gave them a uniform year in terms of the crops that belong together. So this is all determination d'Rabbanan. Termination to Rabbanan, because we're dealing with Trumot and Masrot de Rabbanan. And therefore, all of these machinations and what I try to figure out here are just a logic behind why these were used as the threshold. That's the way Rashi learns it. And therefore, Tu Bishvat or Aleph Bishvat is really Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanot, distinct from Aleph Tishrei. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the nature of the years of trees. And they're going to use that as the threshold, even though technically Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah, they want to make a determination of when most of the trees grow, like we're suggesting now, that maybe then, as technology changes things, then maybe the Rabbanan would change these types of items or these types of thresholds to conform with that. On the other hand, Tosafot says something amazing here. He says, Bechad b'shvat maitaimo. It sounds like the Gemara is asking Beit Shammai, what's the reasoning behind Beit Shammai's position of Bechad b'shvat? And Tosafot says, Refresh name the Beit Hillel. This question is equally relevant to Beit Hillel. Why Tu Bishvat? Why Echad Bishvat? Tosafot's answer is even more striking, which is, For chol achanutim kodem zman zeh, enu gishmei shana, shlifnei Rosh Hashanah, lifnei Tishrei. Tosafot says, Tishrei is the cutoff. Period. That's the cutoff. Now, how do I make determinations of when Tishrei was the cutoff? Well, for trees, Tishrei being the cutoff has to do with the nature of when they blossomed. If they blossomed lifnei Aleph Bishvat, or they blossomed before Tu Bishvat, that means that they were grown on last year's rain, not on this year's rain. Because the fact that they're blossoming or budding so early in the rainy season means that this year's rains are not what are making the main contribution. They're already affected by the watering from the previous year, and that's prior to Tishrei. Once you cross over Aleph Bishvat or Tu Bishvat, then it's clear that they're growing off of this year's rain, and they belong to this year. According to Tosafot, the cutoff is always Tishrei. You need ways to figure out, how do we know whether it was before Tishrei or after Tishrei? So the Chachamim established that Aleph Bishvat or Tu Bishvat is the cutoff for determining which trees are affected by the previous year versus which are affected by the current year. So in that case, there's not a lot of room for maneuverability, because it all has to do with Tishrei. Tishrei is the cutoff. Now you just got to make a determination. Was it from before Tishrei or after Tishrei? And there, maybe today not much has changed, because it doesn't matter about technology, it just really matters about Tishrei. Tishrei is the main factor here. That's the way Tosafot learns. The Rabbeinu Chananel says that the question here is not about Beit Shammai, but it's on Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai says Aleph Bishvat, and Rabbeinu Chananel seems to indicate that that's a okay statement, because it's on the first of Shvat. Rosh Hashanah usually turns out to be on the first of the month. Tu Bishvat that Beit Hillel uses, why would Beit Hillel pick a middle of a month all of a sudden to make Rosh Hashanah? Generally Rosh Hashanah is at the beginning, it would be the beginning of the month. But the nature is that we don't usually have Tepa Vav, so why did they pick it? So that's the way the question is being asked here. My Taima, according to Rashi, did the Rabbanon pick this? According to Tosfot, my Taima, are these the cutoffs if Tishrei is the time that matters? And according to Menuchan, no, my Taima that Beit Hillel picked Tu Bishvat. That's the question. So Amar Rabbi Lazar and Babushaya, Hov Yatsu Rov Gishmei Hashana. The majority of the rain has already passed. Vadain Rov Tkufa Mibachutz. But the majority of the season still is to come. So my kamar. What does he mean? So achi kamar. Afal pi shirov tkufa mi bachutz. Even though the majority of the season still remains, hol v'yatsu rov gishmei hashana. Still, this is the threshold by which most of the rainy season has already passed. Just in terms of quick calculation, by the tkufa, here it's broken up into three sections, and each one is 3 months long. We've broken up into four sections, each 3 months long, it's each of the seasons. And therefore the Shvat is still in the middle of that season, in that the Tkufa goes into the middle of Nisan, all of Adar, and Shvat, and then you have the middle of Teveit. So Tkufa Teveit goes for that 3 month period, starting in the middle of Teveit, then you go into the middle of Shvat, middle of Adar, middle of Nisan to get you 3 months. That Tkufa is not even halfway over, it's about a third over by the time you get to Tu Bishvat. So 2/3 of the winter remain afterwards. On the other hand, with regards to the rainy season begins back in Cheshvan. So in terms of the rainy season, you are through the majority of the rainy season. All right, so now according to Tosafot, that answers our question, because the majority of the rainy season's over, that means that if you're starting to bud after this point in time, or blossom after this point in time, it's clear that the current rains are what are making that contribution. But if it happens before that point in time, before that threshold, clear that that meant you were carried by last year's rains, not by the current rains, because otherwise you would have bleated, it would have been a later blooming or blossoming than it is now. According to Rashi, this is the Chachamim's reason that they instituted here, is because of the Rosh Bishmei Shana. That's a threshold. Tu Bishvat is Rosh Hashanah. How do I determine? That's got to do with the majority of the rain is over. It's time to cut over the year to the next year. According to the Rabbeinu Hananel, it's interesting. He says, that's exactly Beit Hillel's claim against Beit Shammai. So now, the Rabbeinu Hananel does something, and I'll give other suggestions at this. Rabbeinu Hananel does the calculation like this. He says, Yud Zayin Mar Cheshvan is the beginning of the rainy season. That's when they begin to fast. That's when they expect the first rains, the 17th of Cheshvan. It ends at the end of Nisan. The tail end of Nisan, that's when it ends. That's based on the Mishnayot and Tanit, which we'll get to. That until the end of Nisan, it's okay to have rain. After that, it's considered to be a Siman Klala, that it rains after Nisan, after the month of Nisan has already exited. So if you take that layout from Yud Zayin Reb Mechashvan until the end of Nisan, then Aleph Bishvat is not Rov of the year. And that's basically Beit Hillel's claim. Why would you cut it off at Aleph Bishvat? That's not Rov. Tu Bishvat is the Rov. Because you have the entire Nisan, you have the entire Adar, so those are 2 months. And according to Beit Shammai, if you start Aleph Shvat, you have the entire Shvat. That's 3 whole months of the rainy season. On the other hand, if you go from the other side, you have Kislev and Tevet, which are 2 whole months, but only like 10 days or 12 days inside of Cheshvan. So based on that, you don't have Rov Gishmei Hashana. So Beit Hillel pushes it back 15 days. By pushing it back 15 days, you take 2 weeks out of the back half and put it into the front half, then you end up with the majority being in the front half. That's how Beit Shammai argue. That's how Beit Hillel argues on Beit Shammai and why they say Tu Bishvat, the middle of the month, rather than the beginning of the month. You could argue on behalf of Beit Shammai that Beit Shammai says that the real cutoff is Pesach, not the end of Nisan. You just say that the cutoff is Pesach, then you do have Rov Gishmei Hashana, because that's when we stop asking for rain. We stop asking for rain on the first day of Pesach, or 15 days into the month of Nisan. If that's the end of the, which is the end of the Tukufa, or the, that season. So therefore, you would be at the point where the Rov would then be in the section before, because you just eliminate 2 weeks from the back end, and that gives you the upper hand to the front end of the rainy season. Now, what I would argue is that maybe they both agree that Pesach is the end of the season, and they believe that Zayin Mar Cheshvan is the beginning of the season. Zayin Mar Cheshvan is when we start to ask for rain. Until Tetvav Nisan, that is the rainy season when we ask for rain. So then if you do that, then Beit Shammai would be fine. Rova Gishmei Shinar beforehand, based on that. So why does Beit Hillel say Tu Bishvat? So I suggest maybe they worry about a leap year. In a leip year, it won't work out that way. Beit Shammai says, look, in a normal year, when you hit Aleph Shvat, that's Rov Gishmei Hashana already passed. Because you have the 3 weeks from Cheshvan, and then you have Kislev and Tevet, you have 2 months and 3 weeks. On the other side, you have Shvat, Adar, and then 2 weeks into Nisan. So that's 2.5 months versus the front end, which is 2 months and 3 weeks. So you have a week longer, so you'll have a Rov beforehand. The only problem is when you have a leap year. When you have a leap year, the Rov will not be before Echad Bishvat. Yes. So Beit Hillel says, move it over to Tu Bishvat, that therefore, even in a leap year, you still have the Rov before. Because if you move it over to Tu Bishvat, then even when you have another bet, then you have Adar Aleph, Adar Bet, and then 2 weeks from Shvat to 2 weeks from Nisan, you have 3 months. Versus Tu Bishvat on the other side, you'll have 3 months and 1 week, because you'll have Kislev, Tevet, half of Shvat, and 3 weeks from Cheshvan. That'll give you 3 months and 1 week. So Beit Hillel will still be a majority, even when you have a leap year. So I just said, suggesting that maybe this machloket revolves around ideas or items like that. You could have it where Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai are arguing about whether a leap year we consider, or is a leap year the Yotzei Min HaKlal, is the exception to the rule. They're adjusting because the whole season is shifted. So they want to adjust it, but that's not the normal case. That's not what we're going to worry about. We're going to just talk about normal years. Beit Hillel says, no, we got to worry about Adar. 7 out of the 19-year cycles, you're going to have this. It's a real issue. So we're going to make it Tu Bishvat, so we cover all those years. And another way to present it, based on what their Rabbeinu Chananel is suggesting, not exactly like him, but I'm giving you other alternatives about maybe what they're arguing about in terms of Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Alright, so that is with regards to Tu Bishvat or Echad Bishvat. Now, Tan Rabbanan. Masib Rabbi Kiva Shilikait Etrog Bechad Bishvat. He picked an Etrog on the first of Shvat, Nag Bo Shnei Isurim. And he kept two masrot, Echad Kedivrei Beit Shammai, Echad Kedivrei Beit Hillel. One like each of them, because on Echad Bishvat, he's already crossed over the demarcation for Beit Shammai, it's the new year. For Beit Hillel, you're still prior to Tu Bishvat. So he's in between the two Rosh Hashanahs for them. And he was machmir like both Shitot, like Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, to make it the masrot from both seasons. Tosafot raises the issue again, how exactly do you do that? As he gives a suggestion that we had mentioned yesterday, which is, he takes off one maser, you don't take off two masrot. Take off one maser, you redeem the entirety, and take those monies up to Yerushalayim, and then you give that produce to the Aniyim, and that way you're sure you're covered on all your bases. So that's the way that Rabbi Akiva suggests that one deals with this issue. We see here Rabbi Akiva subscribing, or at least worrying about both opinions, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, which the Gemara will discuss in a second, which is very unusual. His question was not about Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, but rather his question was about the machlok between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, which we've seen before in the Gemara and Sukkah, which is Tetnan. Etrog shaveh li'ilan b'gimel drachim u'liyerek b'derek echad. And etrog has the status of a tree, meaning that fruits, in three areas, and in one area it's like a vegetable. Shaveh li'ilan b'gimel drachim, in three areas that it's treated like a tree or fruits, is lo orla. It has a din of orla because it is a tree. Lo revai, again, because it has the status of a tree. So if it has the status of a tree and not a vegetable, then orla applies to it. Orla only applies to trees. Ulish vi'it, and for shvi'it, that has a din like fruits, that goes botar chanata. Ulil yerek v'derech echad, which shebishat likato isuro. And maser is determined by the picking season. It'll actually turn out, Tosafot points this out, can end up with a situation in which something has kudushat shvi'it, and you'll have to take off masrot from it. Because it was chonet in the seventh year, but it was only picked in the eighth year. Picked in the eighth year, you have to take off masrot from it. It was chonet in seventh year, and therefore you're going to have to be noeg kedushat shvi'it with that. So you'll actually have these types of interesting issues that are going to come up. That's the opinion of Rabban Gamliel, the very Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Lezer Omer, etrog shaveh li'ilan b'chol davar. Rabbi Lezer says that etrog has a din like an ilan for everything. So now, if that's the machlok between them, when did he pick the etrog? He picked the etrog on Aleph Shvat. So that's already the new year, because he picked it after Aleph Shvat, and that means, which the Gemara is going to say later, that Rabbi Akiva is subscribing to the position of Beit Shammai and not Beit Hillel. We'll discuss that in a minute. So now, if he thinks Aleph Shvat is the cutoff, then when he picked it after Aleph Shvat, it's the new year. But if he goes Batar Chanata, if he goes after when it blossomed, when it actually began to grow the fruit, then that was the previous year. That's prior to Aleph Shvat. So that's what he was worried about. He's worried about whether the halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel or like Rabbi Eliezer within the position of Beit Shammai. So now the Gemara wants to understand this. Number one, umi avdinan ketrei chumre. Since when can you pick up two chumrot? Meaning, since when can you pick up both the position of Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai and subscribe to both of them? Vatanya, don't we have a bright thought from the Gemara in Eruvin? The olam halacha kedivrei Beit Hillel. The halacha is always like Beit Hillel. For otzeh lasot kedivrei Beit Shammai oseh. Anybody who wants to practice like Beit Shammai can. Kedivrei Beit Hillel oseh. If you want to practice like Beit Hillel, that's okay. Mikulei Beit Shammai and Mikulei Beit Hillel. If you want to take over the leniencies of Beit Shammai and leniencies of Beit Hillel, rasha. That person is obviously doing the wrong thing. Mechumrei Beit Shammai and Mechumrei Beit Hillel. If I don't want to be machmir, alav haketuv omer, vaksil b'choshech holech. That the fool walks in darkness. Ela, ikim Beit Shammai, Mikulei en Mechumrei on. When you hold like Beit Shammai, you gotta take their opinion across the board. And you can Beit Hillel, b'kuleyon and b'chumreyon. When you go hold, subscribe to Beit Hillel, you have to hold like them in both places. The Gemara in Erevin clarifies that. Gemara in Erevin says that's only when they're soter, echad etesheni. It's only when you have opinions of Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai that by subscribing to one opinion, by definition, you have to hold of both their chumra and kula. Because if you hold of the chumrot to both of them and the kulot to both of them, you would actually then be soteric yourself because of the opposing opinions. The Gemara's example over there is regards to the vertebrae in the chulia, in the spinal column. How many vertebrae do you have to be missing in order to be considered a trefa? And how many vertebrae do you have to be missing in order for it not to have a din of tumat hamet? Over there, Beit Hillel says, if you're missing two vertebrae, then it's a trefa. If you're missing only one, then it's not a trefa. But in that case, if missing two makes it into a trefa, that also has to be the standard for a tumah. You can't say, oh, it's two vertebrae for trefa, and then when you get to the din of tumah, one vertebrae missing is already not tumah. That's not the case. You're basing a determination that two vertebrae is already considered to be something that's problematic or not the real item, and that's why it's a trefa, so too by tumah. That means that Beit Hillel will turn out to be a chumrah by tumah. The other hand, Beit Shammai says that one vertebrae missing is a trefa, which is a chumrah by trefa, but will turn out to be a kula by tumatamate. In that case, where the opinions are mutually exclusive. Since they're mutually exclusive, if you subscribe to both of their lenient opinions, you're a rasha. Because how can you do that? They're mutually exclusive opinions, and now you're going to kula on both sides. If you go to chumrah on both sides, you're a fool, because, again, the opinions are mutually exclusive. To be machmir in both cases makes no sense. Whereas, if their opinions have nothing to do with each other, meaning that Beit Hillel here and Beit Shammai here, you can pass them like Beit Hillel here and Beit Shammai here, that's fine. We're okay with that as long as the opinions are not mutually exclusive. So that's number one. Number two is the Gemara later on in Erevin says that don't we have a position that Beit Shammai b'makom Beit Hillel zayin mishnah, Beit Shammai doesn't count at all. You're not allowed to subscribe to the position of Beit Shammai. And the Gemara in beginning Brachot talks about Rabbi Tarfon, where his friend said that he deserved to die or put himself in danger because he subscribed to the position of Beit Shammai, which is incorrect. So the Gemara there tells us that's lifnei bat kol, achar bat kol. Before the bat kol, you could choose between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. After the heavenly voice came out and said, aloha ke Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai ain't on Mishnah anymore. And therefore, we can only pass one like Beit Hillel, you can't choose to pass one like Beit Shammai. Right, so Tosafot deals with why. Tosafot answers that Rabbi Lezer was a dat yachid, so that the bat kol was undermining the natural process of halachic decision, which would have gone against Rabbi Lezer. On Beit Hillel was the majority, and therefore we subscribe to the bat kol because they were the majority. Ah, so why would we pass them like Beit Shammai? Because Beit Shammai are yoter harifim. So there's a reason to believe that even though they weren't the majority, that we might pass them like Beit Shammai because they were more harif. They knew their stuff better, and they had a more exacting way of learning, and maybe we should have passed them like them. The bat kol comes to reaffirm the natural course of halacha, which is to go by the majority. That's how Tosafot explains it. There are other explanations, but I think that's the easiest one to differentiate. All right, so therefore, after the bat kol, Beit Shammai in a mishnah. But how is it possible here that Rabbi Akiva can be subscribing to Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai here, which are mutually exclusive? You can't say Aleph Shvat and Tu B'Shvat. That's just not a possibility, because they're mutually exclusive opinions. So now, in terms of Rabbi Akiva's opinion, how is he subscribing to both Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai? And Gemara does not think that he has a safek about how to paskin. So now, the Gemara answers Rabbi Akiva gamre yistafekli. So he does not remember when he learned whose opinion was Echad B'Shvat. Was it Beit Hillel's opinion that Amru Echad B'Shvat or Ibn Tedvav B'Shvat Amru? Did they say Tu B'Shvat? So he doesn't remember which one is Beit Hillel. He's going to paskin like Beit Hillel. He just doesn't remember if Beit Hillel is Aleph Shvat or if it's Tu B'Shvat. And that was his safek here. So his whole safek is within the position of Beit Hillel, and therefore it's not a mutually exclusive opinion. Now, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lo minag Beit Shammai Beit Hillel Nahagba, Elo minag Rabbi Gamliel Rabbi Eliezer. Nahagba, he was working on this other machloket, Bechad B'Shvat Ke Beit Shammai Nahagba. And then for the conclusion of the Gemara is that he subscribed to Beit Shammai, which is what I told you before. That in order to have this safek, he picked it on Aleph Shvat. If he's in Beit Hillel, it doesn't really matter. He picked before Tu B'Shvat, and the fruit came into the tree before Tu B'Shvat, it would all probably be the same year. The only reason he has a safek is because he picked it after Aleph Shvat, and that means he subscribes to the position of Beit Shammai, which obviously is interesting. Why is he subscribing to the position of Beit Shammai? I will note that Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe was Rabbi Lezer ben Hukunus. Rabbi Lezer ben Hukunus is known in the Gemara as Shmutehu. Now, the Rishonim argues, why is he known as a Shmuti? Is he known as a Shmuti because he was excommunicated with Tanur Shalach Nai in the case in Baba Metzia, and therefore he was in Shamta, that's why he's a Shmuti? Or others suggest that he's a Shmutihu because he comes from Beit Shammai. If that's the case, and Rabbi Kiva is a Talmud of Rabbi Lezer ben Hukunus, it might make sense that Rabbi Kiva is subscribing to the position of Beit Shammai, and his Safek is in Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, Aliba de Beit Shammai. It would not be so far-fetched. We're going to give alternative answers that don't say that. But in this case, I'm just suggesting that it's not so far-fetched to suggest that Rabbi Akiva is subscribing to the position of Beit Shammai. Right? Amar Rabbi Chanina, Vitema Rabbi Chananya, Hocha Betrog Shechanto Perotav Kodem Tedvav, De Idach Shvat Azkinan. It's a case where it was Chonet before the previous Tu B'Shvat. Ubedinu Dafilu Kodem Lechen. And the truth is, if he picked it any time, you'd have this question. And the question is just because that's when he picked it. But you'd have this question any time. Because blossoming or the budding of the fruit already took place before the previous Tu B'Shvat. We know about etrogim. They're unusual. They can stay on the tree and they do not rot. They can continue to grow on the tree. So it continues to grow on the tree, but it belongs to the first year. We are already now in the second year. Anytime during that second year, if you were to pick the etrog, you'd have this question. But it happens to be that the case was Rabbi Akiva picked it on Echad B'Shvat. So now the question comes up. He holds like Beit Hillel. He holds that Tu B'Shvat is a threshold. Just he happens to pick it on Echad B'Shvat. It has nothing to do with this year because it's all about last year. Last year already it was Chonet on the tree before Tu B'Shvat. Now he's picking it in this year before Tu B'Shvat and he wants to know which year does it belong to. Well, that'll depend on whether you hold like Rabbi Lezer or Rabban Gamliel. If he picked it after the 15th, then it would be a difference between year 1 and year 3. That would be the question. Did it belong to the first year when it was 1-8, or does it belong to year 3 when he picked it? Over here is a question between year 1 and year 2. If he waited until after Tu B'Shvat, it would be, was it year 1 or year 3? So it would be even a more extreme type of question. So what Rabbi Chanina basically does is says that his safek is in Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar, but it's Aliba de Beit Hillel. He eliminates the problem of it being Aliba de Beit Shammai. Ravina Amar Kroch Vitani. Here there are two machlokot in our Mishnah, meaning that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda argues on two issues. Lo echad b'shvat haya, elo tu b'shvat haya. That Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda argues on two points. Number one is that the incident didn't take place on the first of Shvat, rather the incident took place on Tu B'Shvat. That's his first argument. Number two is, Halo minag beit Shammai beit Hillel nagba, elo minag Rabbi Gamliel over Rabbi Eliezer nagba. And his question was not about a safek in beit Shammai or beit Hillel, rather a safek in Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer. But what Ravina does again is, he establishes that if the question is between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabban Gamliel, it's a question in the position of beit Hillel. So both of them, both Rabbi Chanina and Ravina, are trying to make this machlokas within the position of beit Hillel. Rabbi Chanina does it by saying it happened the year before there was Chonet, and Ravina does it by saying that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda not only argues on the nature of the Safek, he also argues on the incident when it took place. And he says it took place in Tu B'Shvat, not on Echad B'Shvat. Alright, so now, Tosafot asks the question, Vim Tomar, Amaylo Azlini Betrog, Batar Lekita Lechot Davar, Shemin Shegadel Al Kol Mayim Keyerek. We know that Etrog is known for needing a ton of water, just like a Yerek. And therefore, according to the opinion that says the reason that Yerek is determined by the Kitato is because it's Gadel Al Kol Mayim. So then why don't we say the same thing by Etrog? Etrog that is Gadel Al Kol Mayim, why doesn't it have a status like a Yerek and butter the Kitato for everything? So here, even the machloke between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Gamliel only revolves around this one issue of maser, not to do with shvi'it, not to do with other items. Why not? By Yerek, it goes batal kitato for everything. Why don't you say the same thing by Etrog? Because Etrog has the same properties as a Yerek, which is that it's alkol mayim. Why is it that we differentiate between shvi'it and masrot? Tell us what answer is something that he said before. And he says that Yerek really does not go batal kitato. Rather, Yerek goes after Batar Gemar HaPri. Goes after when it's finished. He says, in general, the Lekita and Gemar HaPri happen almost simultaneous. Because as soon as it reaches full maturity and it's ripened, you pick it off the tree or you pick it off the vine. Because vegetables, that's the nature. You, as soon as they reach that, you want to pick them because if you leave them too long, they go rotten. And if you pick them too early, they're not going to be good. So you pick them right at that point of maturity. So Batal Kitato is just a siman that is Gemar HaPri. Tosavot then says, if for whatever reason the Gemar HaPri took place before Rosh Hashanah, and you only picked it after Rosh Hashanah, ain't hochanami that the vegetable belonged to the previous year, because that's Gemar HaPri. So he says the real determining factor is Gemar HaPri. In 90% of the times, Lekitato and Gemar HaPri are simultaneous or have to do with each other, and that's why that was used by the vegetables. Gemar HaPri determines when the water came from. If Gemar HaPri takes place before Rosh Hashanah, that means that it was watered by the previous year's waters. If Gemar HaPri takes place after Rosh Hashanah, then the new year's waters also contributed. And because of that, you have a difference in the Meiser years based on the Gemar HaPri. And the kita is just the siman of when the Gemara Pri took place. Whereas when it comes to the etrog is different in this way. Because Gemara Pri is ikar, and Gemara Pri and the kitat and etrog are totally separate because etrog has a different status. Because first of all, etrog is dar al-ilan mishana l'shana, can stay on there for multiple years. So Gemara Pri is not clear by the etrog in order to say that Likitato should be the determining factor even by Shvi'it. That's number one. And number two is, by Etrog, since we differentiate between Likita and Gemara Pri, then maybe by Shvi'it, which is Deoraita, we're going to have a different view of Likita versus Chanata. And therefore by Shvi'it you would go after Chanata, even though for Masrot you would go after Batar Likita. So that's why Tosafot over here describes that even though an Etrog might look like a vegetable, in the end, vegetables are not determined by Likita because Likita matters. It's because Gemara Pri is the determining factor. Likita is just a way to know when the Gemara Pri was. And by Etrog, it may not be the same. And because Etrog might be different, that's why the Gemara, or the opinion that says over here, Rabbi Gamliel, that it has a Tzad Yerek to it, that is not across the board. That's only in Masrot, but it does not necessarily apply to Shvi'it as well. Alright, so that's one important thing to, by Tosafot about when the real Onata Masrot for vegetables is. It's after the Gemara Pri. Alright, so now, Amar Rabba Barvuna Hashtad Amar Rabban Gamliel Etrog Achar Likitato Isuro Ki Yerek Rosh Hashanah Shalo Tishrei. If you're going to tell me that an Etrog follows Masrot like a Yerek, and it goes after the Kita, but we know that Rosh Hashanah for vegetables is Tishrei. So if you say that, you've got to be consistent. If you're going to say it goes Batal Likitato, it shouldn't be Aleph Shvat and Tu B'Shvat, it should be Aleph Tishrei. It says, Meitavei Reb Shimon Elazar Omer Liket Etrog Erev Tu B'Shvat Ad Shalo Tavoa Shemesh, before sunset. Chazali Kate Mishitavo Hashemesh, and then you pick another etrog after sunset. Intormim Masrim Mizal Zeh. The fish Intormim Masrim Lo Min Hachadash Al Yashan, Lo Min Hachadash Al Hachadash. Pretty clear from this Braita, from this Tosefta, that threshold is Rosh Hashanah is Tu B'Shvat, and it goes Batal Likita. It's telling you, you pick before Tu B'Shvat and after Tu B'Shvat, Likita is the determining factor, and Tu B'Shvat is the threshold. So it's pretty clear that even though the kita is the determining factor, you still think Tu B'Shvat is Rosh Hashanah. So Aita Shlishit Nichnesa the Revi'it. If it's the third year going to the fourth year, Shlishit Maser Rishon U Maser Ani. The third year is Maser Rishon Maser Ani. Revi'it Maser Rishon Maser Sheni. So that will be determinant in terms of which Masrot you give, depending which year you picked it in. Man Shmait Le Dazal Batar the Kita. Who's the opinion that we follow the picking? Rabbi Gamliel. Biktani, and it says in that Tosefta that Tu B'Shvat is the Rosh Hashanah. This is the statement of Rabba Barbar Avuna. Even though the Etrog follows a Yerek like a Kita, Rosh Hashanah Shalosh Shvat. His Rosh Hashanah is Shvat. So even though the Kita is the determining factor for Etrog, still the Rosh Hashanah is considered to be in Shvat. Now the Gemara asks just a simple question, which is interesting. Mashna hatam diktani maitashni anichnas l'shlishit. Why in the previous Tosefot, when we mentioned a question about when the Onata Masrot was, you said it's a difference between the second year and the third year. The second year is Maser Rishon and Maser Sheni. The third year is Maser Rishon Maser Ani. Umashna hocha in this Tosefot diktani maitash l'shit nichnas l'revit. It was the third year going into the fourth year. Third year is Maaser Rishon and Maaser Ani, and the fourth year is Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni. All they're showing you is years that have a difference. So is it the second year to the third, or the third to the fourth, which all have a difference, because the third year is different. But why did the Braita give different examples? Why did one Braita use an example of second to third, and one Braita give an example of third to fourth? So my answer is, Milta Gav Orche Kamashmalan. It teaches us as an aside this issue, which is, Detrog Kashale Yodah, that Etrogim are affected by being touched or moved a lot. Because everybody during the Shvi year touches the Etrog trees, it causes a delay in the development of the Etrogim for 3 years. And that's why it mentions 3 and 4 years, because the first time you're going to see Etrogim is 3 years after the Shemitah. That was the interesting thing. There are Etrog orchards around here, and the sign that they put up, because during Shvi, he makes it Hefker, and anybody's going to go in there. And he says that the din of Hefker is that you can take the fruits. It doesn't mean you can destroy the trees. Because many people think Hefker, they come in and they break the trees, they snap the branches, they do all sorts of things when they're taking the Etrogim, which is not permitted. What's permitted is the fruits are Hefker. You can't destroy the trees. But what the Gemara is acknowledging is that when you make it a free-for-all during Shvi'it, and people come in and pick, they affect the trees, And in that way, they actually hurt the growth of the Etrogim in the subsequent years. And that's the Milta Gavorche that we learn from the fact that by Etrogim it says the third and fourth year versus by other items like vegetables, it talks about the second and third year. Okay, we'll stop over here.